Channel Radio.
It's 1 o'clock.
Radio.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Paul.
Hello.
Did you come by train today?
You're funny.
Asking for a friend.
Oh, yeah. You're so funny. Have you been picket breaking? Have you?
I have. I've been up and down.
Have you stormed the picket line?
Yeah. Well, I think it's the first major train strike since the 80s.
Yeah, yeah. We're bringing back the 70s. We were just talking about that.
Well, we were. Everybody was thin in the 70s and wore loons.
Yeah. And smoked themselves to death. Yeah.
I had a great pair of loons in the 70s.
Did you?
Purple.
That's no way to talk about your parents.
Yeah, purple. And, it's the first train strike, and I'm just wondering how it's affecting our business listeners, because if their staff and their teams are trying to get to work via train...
But hold on. I didn't think anyone went to work anymore. I thought they all worked from home.
Well, furlough's over.
Yeah, but I thought everyone worked from home now.
Not everyone. You can't work from home if you're...
train drivers.
If you're in a...
Train drivers don't work from home.
No.
They're all on the picket line.
If you're in a supermarket. Mind you, last Tuesday I went to get a few nibbly bits because I had the lovely, my local KCC councillor, Mark Dance,
round. Oh, Mark came round for a little soiree and a cup of coffee.
Yeah,
How was he?
So I could bend his ear. It was very well.
Has he recovered?
No, he has lost his hearing due to the AstraZeneca, which is very, very sad.
Yeah.
Nerve damage to the brain, and he has a hearing aid. And he never reported it, so I'm very angry with him.
Anyway.
But he didn't see the point. But apart from the fact he can't hear very well, we covered a lot of ground about Tankerton Whitstable.
I bet you did.
We did. And
did you moan about the grass cutting?
We moaned about the waste of money because it's brown and they're doing it every week. And we don't have much rain. And I was going to say something else that was more interesting about it, but I can't remember what it was now because you've put me off the track.
Did I interrupt?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, that's a shame.
But there's so much happening because where we live, there's a vendetta against dog walkers. So we're on the seafront, as you know. And most
are they out to get you?
They want to...
You're not paranoid. They are out to get you.
They are.
Yeah.
There's a beautiful... Because dog walkers are easy prey. So there's little old ladies with their retrievers.
When you say easy prey, what do they have? You know, like raptor birds come over and pick up the poodles.
Pterodactyls.
Yeah, okay.
But my neighbour, who's 87...
I had a pterodactyl in my garden, did I tell you?
Did you?
Yeah. It was a heron. It was huge.
It was huge.
Yeah.
No,
they've had all the fish out of my lake anyway. Yeah.
Dog walkers. So my lovely lady, who's a neighbour, who's about, I don't know, she's in her early 80s, she's got a rescue Labrador, and we walk on Long Rock, which is an area of absolutely amazing beauty. It's been like that for thousands and hundreds of years.
Yeah.
And now KCC want to fence it all off. And they keep fining walkers for having their dog off the lead, saying that they're ruining the birds. There's birds that come to feed. They're, Canadian geese, Brent geese, that come to feed, and they say that the numbers are dying down.
Right.
They're blaming the dog walkers for some reason. So nothing to do with climate change or pesticides or winds and all that. So long story short, because they're allowing all this development on the Thanet Way and all around Whitstable and Thanet as well, so they're planting, they're building on our farmland, prime farmland, on our cauliflower fields and all that sort of thing. And because they're building all these huge estates on the Thanet Way, the sewage is... our sewage works there can't cope, which is on Long Rock.
Yeah.
So this is all greenwashing. So the developers are paying to build these walls so that they can build a huge more of a sewage.
Blimey.
Because, as you know, sewage gets into... So it's and all really
is Mark going to fix all that then?
Well, I kept plying with wine and peanuts and olives, and I upped the game. Oh, that's what I was telling you about. So because he was coming round, I popped into M&S, and as you know, I don't normally do supermarkets.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, what happened?
I normally shop local, but I thought I'll get him a few little sort of M&S nibbles. And M&S had all self-checkout. Awful.
Sainsbury's and Tesco have just both launched that as well.
And McDonald's, apparently.
Well, it's a fiasco. I was in Tesco on Sunday. It's an absolute fiasco because what they've done is the self-checkout is also where the speed checkout is. So now it's not a speed checkout anymore because everybody with their huge baskets. In the baggage area. And of course, with Tesco's, they want to test every trolley. Yeah. So they try two or three items of each trolley. It's an absolute fiasco. It's a complete nightmare. Mm. And of course, it's all geared to the same thing, which is why they've all done it at the same time. Yeah. What they're trying to do is encourage you not to go to the shop.
And just to buy it all online.
To buy it all online so they can close the supermarket and save all those costs of having that and just deliver it to you in a van.
And what have Canterbury Council done also? They're trying to ruin the lovely street market that's there.
Yeah, they've in the high street. Taken that apart. Yeah. They're not doing very well at the moment, are they?
They're not Canterbury in my Council. Good books. They're not in my good books. If you are listening, as we always say on here, try and shop local. Try and support your local greengrocer and butcher and baker and candlestick maker.
Yeah.
We're lucky in Whitstable. We have great ones.
Most places don't have them anymore, though, do they?
Because they didn't support them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you don't give them any money, they can't keep going.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Who might our sponsor be this week?
Oh, I'm glad you asked.
Yeah.
We're sponsored this week by the lovely folks at Talis IFA. They're independent financial advisors for all your pension, investment and mortgage. Why are you laughing at me?
Because your glasses
just fell down. Yeah. I'm trying to wear my glasses on my head because they're reading glasses and I'm not reading at the moment. And I'm trying to wear them on my head at the same time as wearing headphones, which doesn't really work. And, of course, I haven't got a lot of hair on my head to keep them up.
You want a little bit of sellotape or something.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I polished my head this morning. That didn't work. No. See, that's not
with your parting.
Yeah.
I would say is what I tend to do is when my new husband is terrible because he just leaves glasses everywhere and seems to think that I should know where they are.
Pint glasses.
Every glass, right. Every glass, cups of tea, glasses. He's just scatty.
Yeah.
He's academic, Paul Andrews.
Don't want academic.
No, you don't. He can't do any DIY.
Come on, Gav, get a grip, mate.
No, very academic.
Yeah.
So he'll always say, "Have you seen my glasses?" And I have a little box.
And aren't they always on his head?
Often in the fruit bowl and things and very strange areas. Yeah. But I have a little basket now, so everything of his I find I put in one basket.
I just buy reading glasses in job lots off Amazon, you know, in packs of 10 at a time, and then just leave them everywhere.
So you're not you're not shopping local for your glasses then?
Where would you shop locally for cheap glasses?
Not for cheap ones. That's the trouble. But we have a local. I think it's called Heinz in Whitstable High Street, not spelt like the baked beans.
Yes, but those opticians or optometrists or whatever they call them, the independent ones don't sell cheap reading glasses, do they?
I'm afraid.
They test your eyes and sell you a very nice pair of glasses for 150 quid.
I know.
Whereas I buy them for three quid a pop off Amazon.
Well, the trouble is they're paying a rent. And as we know, KCC and CCC, Canterbury Council, have put the rents up so much especially in Canterbury.
Anyway, so this show is very positive and we never rant about anything apart from that.
But the weather is fabulous, let's put it that way. I mean, I was swimming in the sea on Friday. It was absolutely beautiful.
Well, Friday was National Climate Change Day, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because that's when everything got really hot.
And then on Sunday, I walked the dog and I was wearing a bobble hat and a great big fluffy jumper.
Yeah, well, Saturday night, we had the most massive thunderstorm over
us. Made me jump. I bit my lip.
Did you?
It was right over our house.
Yeah,
was it yours?
Yeah. It was awful. Jamie, my eldest, it was my grandson's birthday on Friday.
Au français.
Yeah, and they had a birthday party for some of his mate. He was four.
Wow.
And they had a birthday party on Saturday, and it was 104.
Gosh, that is hot. That's ridiculous.
43 degrees for people
that's
do decimal.
Dubai colours.
Yeah, yeah.
Colours,
yeah.
Temperatures.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've got quite a lot of tweets coming in, and we'd love to hear from you as usual. Do tweet us if the trains are affecting you.
Or not.
Or your business, and hopefully they're not. Hello to, we've had quite a few. We've had Sarah Marsh Collins. She says, good afternoon, Vanilla Webb and Jules Serkin. Great to be listening to you guys from sunny Devon. Because she moved there, didn't she?
She moved, yeah.
And she said, at least we get to avoid the train strike. I'd love a shout out, she says. She's probably sitting under a little apple tree. I saw she had a lovely apple tree, a lovely lawn. She'll be surrounded by her dogs, of course. But she'd love a shout out. And her digital marketing and PR agency is called, on the Twitter, at My Babel Monkey, B-A-B-E-L, My Babel Monkey. And she says it's going bananas about creating
chatter. I see what she did there. My babel monkey has gone bananas. Oh, I like it, Sarah.
Yeah, she's been thinking of that all day.
Yeah.
So hello to you, Sarah, and I hope you're enjoying sunny Devon. And have a little cream tea for me. Jam first, please.
And we've also had a tweet from Michael Park Surveyors, and they say, good afternoon, Vanilla Webb, and that's me, and Jules Serkin. We hope you've had a brilliant day and a cracking Business Bunker show today. And this is from Steph. And she says, finally back in the swing of things after being hospitalised. Oh, Steph, didn't know you'd been in hospital. I hope you're okay now and I hope you're feeling better.
I've asked her to DM me and see how she is.
Give you the background info.
Because our Leslie downstairs also not well on reception.
I know.
Had to go home.
Yeah. So it's obviously a South African thing.
Maybe. Paragon Drones. Hello to you guys. Now, Paragon are droning around. They are a propelling drone service, and they are in Chatham, but I guess they go droning off anywhere.
They go all over the place.
Their website is Paragon Drones.
They fly around everywhere.
ParagonDrones.co.uk. So hello to you, and happy droning to you.
Are you not going to read what I actually tweeted then?
I haven't found it yet.
Oh, I've got it here.
Go on then.
And it says, hey, Paul and Jules, it looks like a very creative show today. Looking forward to your musical introductions of cheesy tunage for your guest. Oh, you will as well. We would love a mention, and as a veteran-owned company, please could you remind everybody it's Armed Forces Week. So, everyone, it's Armed Forces Week, where we celebrate those people that serve in the armed forces and veterans that have served, and thank them for their service.
Yeah, without them, we would be scuppered, I think.
Yeah, and of course, it's all getting a bit nasty because the Russians had a go this morning, didn't they?
Again.
Did you see? Half the DNSs in the world went down when they got attacked. We were all down this morning. My website was down. The radio website was down.
Oh, gosh, that was the Russians.
Allegedly, that's me just saying it was the Russians. There was a major DNS outage, and it's normally caused by a denial of service or an attack on something.
It's only a matter of time. We've had National Health Service. Oh, I must tell you about the National Health.
Oh no, really?
Oh my goodness! So my lovely mother Ruth, who's 91, had an appointment at long last, which I took her to Ibiza, as you know, 2 weeks ago. So she diligently, my new husband. Diligently cancelled it for her, which took about 20 minutes on the phone because they couldn't cancel it and had to go to this department and that department. Anyway, he cancelled it. She then came back from holiday and had three letters for the one that had been cancelled. She said, I keep getting these letters. I said, don't worry, you've cancelled it. And then she took a taxi in for the new appointment, which cost her, obviously, to Canterbury. When she got in, they said, oh, there's been an error and there was no appointment. So she's 91. She had to pay for a taxi and she still hasn't had her appointment.
Yeah.
So I'm very sad about that.
But, absolutely.
I will be making a complaint. iTrust Assurance, hello to you. They're bringing a healthy and sustainable speak-up culture to organisations worldwide. And you can follow them on itrust.uk.com and find out all about them. But they're into team building and apps and speak ups and consultancies.
They've got a fantastic app, Speak Up app. It's really worth looking at. If you run a business and you want to communicate effectively with your people, it's a great app. What should we do? Should we play some cheesy tunage?
You can. It's quite early, but if you're in the mood.
Well, it's quite a long track.
Go on then.
It's quite a long track, but see if you can get it.
Oh, it sounds quite 80s.
Yep.
Going by the guitars.
Yep.
Oh, it's very creative.
Yeah.
Don't tell me yet.
No, I'm not going to.
Are they going to sing?
Yeah, in a minute.
It's a little flute, a little bongo. good intro.
Yeah, come on.
Well, I've got to wait for him to sing. I don't know the track, but don't tell me. Are they going to sing?
Yeah, they are eventually.
Don't tell me. Oh, oh, that's Gimme and Give It Art for Art's Sake.
It's Art for Art's Sake, 10cc. Did you see what I did there? Art for Art's Sake.
Very clever.
Chalice Independent Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out chaliceifa.com. Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with Workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Loch Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
This is Channel 2.
Art for art's sake. 10cc. Do you see what I did there?
Very clever, Paul Andrews, and a great band.
It's a fantastic track as well,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, they did some.
And it's totally in honour of our next guest, the absolutely lovely Pauline Armour of the Bromley Arts Festival. Pauline, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
If you come a bit closer to the mic, that's lovely. Thank you. So, first of all, tell us a little bit about Pauline, okay. And then we'll talk about the Arts Festival.
Okay. Well, I have been involved in theatre most of my life as a very keen and enthusiastic amateur.
Right, okay.
My actual career was I ended up as an assistant director of children's services in the London Borough of Southwark.
Right. But
running parallel to that from being a little girl, I've always been involved with theatre as an actor and as a director.
Wow.
And most recently, for about the last 10 years, I've been the artistic director of Bromley Little Theatre.
Right.
in the middle of Bromley. So I'm a great enthusiast in terms of all types of arts and feel it's very, very important.
Mm.
And since I retired from the big day job, I now commit myself to the promotion of the arts and particularly to theatre, which is my main interest.
Theatre, especially local theatre, is a fantastic thing, isn't it? It's very hard business to be in. I was a director of the Hazlitt Theatre in Maidstone for a long, long time, and it is it's very hard these days. But it's such a shame if we do lose that. Those local theatres and local rep companies are the bedrock of art, really.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. It's so important, whatever level you're working at, whether it's a high professional level or it's in a small village hall where you meet a couple of nights a week and have a cup of tea between your rehearsals. It really is something quite uniquely English as well.
Yeah.
And it's really, really important. And I think it changes people's lives and it has a great community impact.
Yeah,
and it's also more accessible than the London theatres, which are eye-wateringly expensive.
Absolutely. You know, and at Bromley Little Theatre, for example, because we're a big theatre, you can probably, about 3 years after something being on at the National Theatre in the West End, we will probably tackle some of those shows.
Sure.
Wow. So for £10, you can see something that you would have had to probably pay well over £100 for. So yes, it is important for the local community.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. So that's your background, Pauline.
Yeah.
Two very different things. Your professional life involved in community and supporting people, and then your interest in theatre. So tell us a bit about the Bromley Arts Festival.
Okay. Well, the way it came about was last year, after a very bleak 18 months, it became apparent that in Bromley, some of the smaller theatre companies hadn't been able to perform at all because their village halls had been closed.
Mm.
At Bromley Little Theatre, we were fortunate because we have our own building and we were able to open as soon as we could.
Mm.
So myself and some colleagues from some other theatre groups said, let's get together and do a big community show in the open air.
Right.
And we did. We used an amphitheatre behind the Churchill Theatre in Bromley that is hardly ever used.
Mm.
And we did a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Wow, beautiful.
And we formed a new company, Bromley Community Arts Theatre, which brought together all right. of the local groups.
Mm.
Simultaneously, myself and some colleagues from Bromley Little Theatre thought, why don't we make this a little arts festival?
Mm.
Now, there wasn't a lot going on last year, but we had a go. And during July, there were probably about 10, 12, 15 events, and we put a brochure together without any funding, really.
Mm.
And it was the start of it. And we decided that this year, as things were opening up, we were really going to go for it and try and initiate an arts festival right across Bromley for 2022, and this is what we've done.
Oh, fantastic.
Very courageous.
Absolutely, especially in these times, yeah. Well, I've got a story about open-air theatre and amphitheatres. Do you know the Minac Theatre?
I do, I've been there.
Yeah, in the Lizard, yes. Down in Cornwall. I went to a performance of The Sound of Music at the Minac Theatre in a thunderstorm.
Mm.
Okay, and it was hilarious that the cast were on stage and they were doing the bed scene, you know, where all kinds of everything,
yeah.
And they were all sat on the bed. And even though the Minac Theatre is quite a long way from the sea,
mm-hmm.
the storm was so bad that some waves were crashing and breaking over the stage area. And whilst they were singing all kinds of everything, these huge waves of salty water were smashing all over them.
A couple of cod landed on their heads.
The whole audience was falling about, like, we're all soaked to the skin. But it was a fantastic experience.
This is the issue with open air theatre. You have to recognise it's the British summer, so you have to be prepared for sun cream or umbrellas, basically, and the show goes on.
Yeah. Funnily enough, many years ago, I used to sponsor the open air Shakespeare series that travelled around Kent and Sussex, which again was interesting because everything was outdoors and, you know, in public parks or whatever. So coming back to the Bromley Arts Theatre, the Bromley Arts Festival, when does it start, how long does it go on for, and what's available for people to come and see?
It's for the whole month of July.
Right.
So it starts on the 1st of July and continues for the whole month.
Okay.
And what we did, we're not actually promoting anything, and we are taking what was happening anyway.
Yeah,
so what we did, we researched who is doing what across the arts in July, and we now have about 90 different events happening. So there is a range. There is theatre, quite eclectic, there's serious plays, youth theatre, musicals at the Churchill Theatre, comedians, and there's music, there will be singers, there will be folk clubs, blues music in different venues, poetry, the spoken word, there's a David Bowie Day, a Ziggy Stardust Day in Beckenham, because of course
that's where he's from,
where he was from. There are art gallery events, dance events, and so together we have promoted it and pulled it all together, and the Bromley Arts Trust is leading on this with the steering group, and we have done the publicity for it. There will be a brochure hitting everybody's doorstep in Bromley, banners around the town, stickers around the town, and it's really to show the people of Bromley and the surrounding area that there's a lot going on that's happening, and people just don't really know about it.
Well, that's one of the funny things about local things, isn't it? Because you don't have big marketing budgets and you're not on TV or on radio and all the rest of it, people don't always know what's going on and what things are available that they may have missed. You know, because it's there and they just don't know. So it's a fantastic thing. Sorry, I missed what you said about this. Is this the first year that you've done this?
This is the first year we've done it on this scale.
Right.
We did something very mini last year. We had about 10 events.
Well, a bit of a taster.
And they were mainly centred on Bromley Little Theatre because we were open.
Yeah.
And on our amphitheatre production, the Bromley Community Arts Theatre production.
Mm.
But the people who were involved in that got it going this year and went to the Bromley Arts Trust, and now we have a wider steering group of people who are intent on continuing it next year. We did get some money this year for it as well, because central government was making money available to councils to get things going again in the community. So we got some cultural grant money to help us do this. Good. Now, we want to do it again next year, but, you know, we need to get some... We need to get people
some sponsors.
Yeah, sponsors this year so that we can keep on going next year. Last year, for example, the amphitheatre was given to us to help us get going. This year, we've had to pay for it.
Right.
And so next year, we'll probably have to pay again. So
okay, I don't know about this amphitheatre. Okay. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, it's really quite extraordinary.
Is it Roman?
I didn't know there were Romans in
Bromley. They live in. I
see the odd sandal and the odd toga.
No. They swan around in togas all the time in Bromley. Didn't you know that?
It's quite extraordinary. It's behind the Churchill Theatre in a park called the Church House Gardens.
Right.
And some of my colleagues who've lived in Bromley a long time knew about it, and things used to happen there years ago, but it hasn't been used for years.
Just think that there was that amazing.
It is an amphitheatre, like
just sitting there.
A Greek amphitheatre, tiered.
Sorry, Paul, it's Greek, not Roman.
Oh, I'm not going.
No.
They're still swanning around.
What kind of condition is it in? Is it crumbling or
no? It's really pretty good. The real difficulty for us last year was there was no electrical source, and we're not sure that they've found it this year. So we will probably have to hire generators to operate our sound. The company that I'm working with in the amphitheatre, we're doing Dickens' Great Expectations this year.
Oh, one of my favourites.
Yeah, mine too. We're really keen. So there's nothing there, so you have to hire the toilet facilities, sort out your own bar, and the council support us and are interested in it happening, but basically you've got a space and you have to
do the whole thing.
You've got to plan your scenery and costumes, and you have to have your own front of house staff and box office staff.
So it's huge. It's a huge undertaking.
It is.
Very brave.
But it's also a massive benefit to the community.
Yeah.
Because you bring people in from all over the place to see it. Mm. And as you quite rightly say, Pauline, it makes people aware of what's there when they may not have been aware that there was, you know, there's things going on at the theatre, there's things going on at the amphitheatre and so on.
And the whole thing is good for local business in a way, because if we could perpetuate this year on year, you know, you could have pop-up food stalls.
Yeah, of course.
We needn't run our own bar. Mm. You might have one of the local pubs that was said, right, we'll do a pop-up cocktail.
The cider makers and the...
Yeah.
Ale makers.
Absolutely. And similarly, we've events on in all the different parts of Bromley, in Orpington and Petswood and Chislehurst. And similarly, it's a footfall for the cafes and the pubs.
Yeah.
And
even Airbnbs if people are travelling.
So it really has... good connotations to the economy of the borough.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love things like that. And there are a number of those kind of events that take place around Kent and Sussex. We've promoted in previous years the Rye Arts Festival, Rye in East Sussex. Where I live in Tenterton. We used to have a thing called Tentertainment. We have the Tenterton Folk Festival every year, which is huge for the town. So those kind of things are great promotional tools for local communities as well. So I really get that. That's fantastic.
I'm just looking, Paul Andrews, at this. I mean, it's a huge... it's so diverse.
Yeah, it is.
It's a huge undertaking. I think you've been really, really brave. And, I mean, there's certainly loads... I mean, there's opera as well. And... was that you?
That was me.
Hire him quickly.
Yeah.
And then, as you said, you've got the comedians as well. And then there's open mics.
Yeah.
It's all going on. And I agree. And magic as well.
Yes. I think that's the Churchill Theatre. They've got some close-up magic.
Wow.
We've got our youth theatre at Bromley Little Theatre doing The Three Sisters. They're doing a bit of Chekhov this year. You know, they're
very ambitious.
Very ambitious for a young company.
Right.
And there are some professional companies being brought in. And then the Churchill Theatre has got its usual events. And there's stuff going on.
You know, and Paul, for you, Tuesday, I know you're on Bunker, but it'll probably be after Bunker. Tuesday, 26th of July, there's an open adult ballet class. Perfect. I've seen you in your tutu.
There are pictures of me floating around the internet in a pink tutu, yeah, which we will gloss over.
You've got the gear.
Yeah. My claim to fame is that every now and again, Jules reposts the picture of me in a pink tutu. We won't discuss why I'm wearing a pink tutu, but every now and again, she reposts the picture. And last year, she reposted the picture, and you know the band Right Said Fred?
Yeah.
Yes.
They replied, "You're too sexy for your tutu." That's my claim to fame now, isn't it?
Well, they follow me, you know.
Do they?
The Freds. Yeah.
Do
they? Yeah, we've become buddies since I was on GB News.
Yeah, yeah.
A superior show.
Yeah, yeah.
They follow me, and we've been playing I'm Too Sexy for my tutu quite a bit.
Okay.
I'm just digging up that picture.
You don't have to get it out again.
I mean,
goodness
the listener
sake.
Will be upset if it doesn't come out.
I did. A friend of ours used to do a very similar show to this, a business show in New York, an American friend, and he contacted me one time and said, "Look, I've got to go away for a month to work. Would you do the show for me?" And I went, "Well, if you pay..." He said, "You don't have to come to New York. You can do it from home." Ah, that's a shame. Anyway, so I stood in for him. And the first show, I kind of introduced myself, and somebody rang in and went, "Is this you?" And they found a picture of me in a pink tutu on the internet, and my credibility was blown from day one. And that's her fault, because she posted the pictures. Anyway, I'm not doing the ballet classes, but I'm sure a lot of people will enjoy that. So... this is going on for the whole month of July. There's loads of things going on, Pauline. It sounds like there's some fantastic stuff there. And there's something for everybody as well, by the sounds of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. For children, families, people interested in something a bit more serious, some people who might want a little bit of fun.
Yeah.
There's plenty happening right across the borough.
Wow.
Yeah.
It sounds fantastic, and such hard work, and all power to you and the team of people that have been responsible for pulling it together.
Yeah.
Fantastic achievement to get it all kind of pulled in and promoted, and we wish you incredibly success with it, and we're going to try and come along and see some of it. If people want to find out what's on, how to get tickets and all the rest of it, what's the best way to do that, Pauline?
Best is just to go onto our website, which is bromleyartsfestival.com.
Fantastic.
And that then takes you to the full program, and then that takes you into how to book, because it's not a central booking
system. Of course
it takes you onto the websites of the particular company.
Absolutely. So you go in, see what's on, I fancy that,
and then got it.
And if anyone's listening that wants to get involved or to sponsor, especially for next year as well, just contact us and we'll put you through to Pauline, or go to bromleyartsfestival.com.
Yeah, absolutely. It actually does sound like a fantastic thing to sponsor and support as well. If you're a Bromley-based business, you need to think about this, because there's a lot going on there, and there's a lot to be achieved from
Bromley
that.
And surroundings.
Absolutely. Well, Bromley's a big borough.
Yeah.
And it's in Kent, just in case anybody wants to argue. Bromley's in Kent. I don't care if it's a London borough.
It's in Kentish.
Yeah.
And I love what you said about food as well, because we've got some amazing food producers that are around. I'm just thinking of a poet at Mepham, my friend...
Petrus.
Yeah, Petrus.
Yeah.
How far that is?
Oh, it's quite a way.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the other side of Tunbridge.
I'm hopeless on it all, you know.
The nearest kind of places to the London Borough of Bromley, as you come into Kent, are Swanley and Sevenoaks and those kind of places. Petswood. Does Petswood come under Bromley?
Yeah. Westrum is quite near.
Oh, yeah, Westrum.
And then you go out towards...
So you've got Squarries. Squarries at Westrum. Squarries are...
And the other side, you've got Croydon, of course, as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a big conurbation.
Yeah, worth you contacting Squarries, Henry there. It's they do English sparkling, beautiful English sparkling wine. Squarries. I'll give it to you after.
Thank you.
Yeah. So anybody, including Henry and the team, sponsor them. That's an order.
Squares,
yeah, we're going to come around and check. We want you to sponsor them next year. Yeah. Pauline, thank you so much for that. It's been a pleasure to meet you. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. But for the moment, Pauline Armour of the Bromley Arts Festival, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Cool.
And listening in, we've got Sarah Marsh Collins, who said, we loved the Bromley Theatre. When we were there, and I've lost it now, I've just come off, here we are, they went to see Taken at Midnight, and they said Bromley Buzz is a big supporter and also of the Bromley Arts Fest. Jade Window Clean and I are sorry to be missing it. We can always come down, or up.
You're allowed to come back from Devon.
Yeah, you don't have to stay
You need
there.
A passport.
Kentish passport.
Yeah.
And I have released your picture of the tutu. I have. And Rebecca Nuts is finding it very amusing. Serenity Becca.
Thank you, Becca. Yeah. You now got to explain why I'm wearing a pink tutu.
Well, you were invited to... It was a charity gig, wasn't it? You were invited to do a... Was it a Zumba class?
I did a charity, and this is years ago. I did a charity thing.
I have a back catalogue of your photos.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember what it was for now. It was so long ago. I can't remember what it was for. I think it was. A charity contacted me and said, "Would you do a fundraiser for us?" And I said, "Well, yeah." And what they did was they auctioned the ability to make me dress up in a particular way, okay? And the winner insisted that I wore a pink tutu and did a Zumba class. And I actually did a four-hour Zumba class dressed in a pink tutu with the then Minister for Sport, Tracy Crouch.
Oh, yeah, of course, Tracy.
Yeah. And Tracy and I did a four-hour Zumba class where we raised money. I have no idea what we raised. And then she got hold of the photographs, and my life's been a misery since. Anyway, it was a long time ago. I can't remember.
It was a good 6 years.
Yeah.
But you still look trim, so, you know, from it obviously worked, the Zumba. There's a business soundbite, KBS, free business soundbite event in June, with a practical approach for businesses and consumers. And also, it looks like it's Thursday the 23rd of June at the University of Kent, which is in Canterbury, as you know.
Yeah, so it's this Thursday.
Yeah, it is this Thursday. Title is called Controlling Costs.
Mm-hmm.
There's a good one. Accounting Implications in a Period of Exceptional Inflationary Pressures. And it's from 5 p.m. until 6:30 p.m. with coffee provided. And this is aimed at a target audience. People that would be interested in this would be the cross-sector business owners, directors, strategists, accountants, economists, and anyone who's interested in its impact on consumers and the business community. Now, to register, you can go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk, and all the links will be on there, as usual. Or you can go to kbsbusiness@kent.ac.uk. And that's Thursday, 23rd of June.
Fantastic. I just remembered what that Zumba thing was. It was Juliet Shand. It was Herb's Palsy Charity.
That was it.
Yeah. Those were the days.
Yes.
Right. So
there's a park and ride site that's set to empty for up to 2 years and will close at the end of the month. Signs have appeared at the Sturry Road facility in Canterbury warning passengers the service will end on Thursday, June the 30th. The move comes after the City Council decided in April to mothball the site in a bid to save £360,000 amid a drastic fall in passenger numbers since the outbreak of COVID. Bosses pressed forward with the proposal, despite it being rejected by more than 90% of respondents to a public consultation. COVID, hopefully, lockdowns won't last forever and shouldn't last forever, and then people will start needing it.
I've lost the will to live with these people. It's just bonkers, all of it, you know.
I still don't see how 360,000 seems an awful lot of money to run a park and ride.
Yeah, but you know, but then to be stunned that nobody used it when you weren't allowed out.
Exactly.
I mean, really, what did you expect to happen when your own government said you can't go out, you've got to stay indoors for 6 months? How do you expect people?
And what are they building on that site? Isn't it a Nando's or something?
I've no idea.
I think there's some fast food.
No idea.
Yeah.
Paul and Jules, just when you thought I couldn't be any crazier, on the 3rd of July, I and four other nutters from the BNI are jumping out of a plane to raise money for the brilliant Kenwood Trust. We'd be super grateful for a mention on the Business Bunker Show and for a shout out for our Just Giving page. That's from the lovely Linda Cloak of We Do Social Media.
Hello.
She is indeed a nutter, I can confirm that, but she is jumping for an incredibly good cause, Kenwood Trust, which is a charity located in Yalding, just outside Maidstone, and it's a residential home for people with drink and drug addictions. And if you'd like to give some money, which of course you would, because I insist that you would, the way to do that is to go to www.justgiving.com/campaign 5 to skydive. That's justgiving.com 5 to skydive. Please donate at least 20 quid and support five nutters jumping out for Kenwood Trust. And a big thank you to Linda and the other four for doing that.
Yeah. A little bit of wing walking going in there as well.
Oh, they did. Somebody did a wing walk for. I'm a trustee of Kenwood Trust as well. Someone did a wing walk for us a couple of weeks ago as well. They raised quite a few pounds. I offered to do a wing walk, but I didn't have a plane that was strong enough to carry me.
And they couldn't bear the thought of the pink tutu again.
Yeah.
Tenterton Chamber have tweeted in, hello, guys. So, hi, Vanilla Webb and Jules Sirkin. How about a shout-out for a busy chamber preparing for a committee meeting this evening? You have a shout-out. Now, if you want to get involved, weren't they saying that they had a jobs and
they've got,
events?
They've got an events and jobs and all kinds of things that members can post on for free, but nobody ever posts there. So,
they
come on.
Bothering to
They've got loads and loads of members, but they don't use all the facilities. So what they were asking for...
And it's free.
Yeah, well, exactly. It's free to members, so why don't you use it?
So their website is tentertonchamber.org, and you can find them there. Give them a shout and put your little... job vacancy or any other things. So Intune PR, the lovely Darren.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, who comes in bearing, because last week we had,
Somebody came in last week with a tray of Krispy Kreme donuts, yeah. Right?
It was my IT guy, Billy Dean.
Yeah, yeah.
Huge tray.
And she'd never had a Krispy Kreme donut before.
No.
And there were only a dozen in there. And she ate one, and then Billy and I looked there, and there was none left. She'd had the lot.
Darren, how well do you know Paul Andrews?
She'd had the lot, Darren.
Do you actually believe that not more than one Krispy Kreme passes smacking lips? Because I took some home for the new husband.
She took the tray home.
Yeah.
I caught her halfway down the stairs with the tray of Krispy Kremes.
And she
graciously said, if you want one, you can have that one because I don't fancy it.
Yeah. And then when I got home to the new husband, there were only two left and he was very disgruntled because they were the ones without fillings at the hole. So all the fillings, one, they were delicious.
So you gave him the ones that weren't even whole donuts?
They weren't, no, they had holes in them.
Yeah, so they were half donuts.
Yeah, so you'd eaten
typical.
All the ones with fillings.
I didn't eat any.
And Billy as well.
Amanda, I didn't have any.
No. Expanding shirt today.
I did not have any.
I'm a bit disgruntled about this next thing I'm going to read.
Go on then.
It's about Margate, and I do love Margate, as you know. So you remember that the M&S there has been lying empty for years.
Yeah.
I think it's Primark has also been lying there because they built the out-of-town thing.
Yeah, West Cross or whatever.
At the time, I just said, why don't they offer a peppercorn rent to M&S just to keep them in the town?
Yeah.
But, of course, they didn't. So everybody drives out now to Westwood Cross. So they've launched a bid now to breathe new life into a former Marks and Spencers that sat empty for years. East Kent College has lodged plans with Thanet District Council to transform a building previously occupied by the department store in High Street into a state-of-the-art campus.
Okay.
But it's not really breathing life into the High Street. It's not a shop.
We've
got restaurants there. We've got coffee shops. Where's the shops?
Yeah, but people don't use shops anymore.
I do.
You know, the High Street is now leisure and entertainment and food, isn't it? And what you need is
and
what you need
accommodation.
Is and what you need is footfall. So I guess by having the college there, at least you're going to have people using the coffee shops.
I feel sad about it.
And the tattoo parlours.
Yeah, I feel sad about it. We've got GB Pizza there, very, very good pizza if anybody ever goes to Margate.
Really?
Fabulous pizza, yeah, homemade. And they allow dogs in there.
What, to cook the pizzas?
To eat the pizzas.
They're clever.
Inside.
Ah.
Yeah, they do. One of Kent's longest running taxi firms is to close down next month as bosses are finding it increasingly difficult to recruit new drivers. I'm just going to diverse on this. Tried to book a taxi to go to Stansted.
You can get a bus now.
Yeah, I saw that, but I saw how long it took. Was it three and a half hours?
Yeah. Well,
so
it's
I tried Chesfield Cars, who I've used for years, as you know. I used to travel before the pandemic.
Isn't Adam still doing it?
Adam is, I'll tell you after the show. Chesfield Cars.
No, I'll take it, yeah.
I've used them for absolutely yonks, and they've always been brilliant. And, you know, as you know, I travelled a lot for work in the old days before COVID. And
when you worked?
When I worked more. And their price, first of all, when we went to Ibiza, they couldn't do it because they had no drivers at all.
Yeah.
And we gave them 3 weeks' notice, couldn't do it. And then they've just done for Stansted, because I'm going off to, again, to Alicante. And their price to go to Stansted was like £260 because of petrol.
You can get a bus. You can get a bus from Canterbury to Stansted. It's £8.50 return.
I won't be.
But it just takes 3.5 hours.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't last that long without going to the loo, frankly. It might.
Well, they've probably got a toilet on there.
Yeah,
they know where all the bushes are.
did you hear that, talking of Alicante, did you hear that Spain has just brought in a rule to ban people from peeing
in
the
sea? £500 fine, I saw that, yeah.
How are they going to prove?
They've got a drone. They've got a drone that flies over the beach and they can spot you peeing.
So if you stand there looking pensive, because there's a jellyfish, Medusa.
Yeah.
Medusa in front of you, they could get you because they think you're peeing.
Well, you could claim that in your defence, couldn't you?
Yeah, it's a Medusa.
Because apparently the cure for a jellyfish sting is to be weed on.
Exactly.
So you could go, oh, I've been stung.
Yeah.
Well, but then you could get stung twice because you get stung with a £500 fine.
Are they going to make the public have, you know, eat beetroot or something so that their pee is dyed pink or something?
Asparagus.
Pee. That doesn't give you a colour. It's just a strange smell.
Makes it green.
If you have the enzyme, it has a strange asparagus pea smell.
Yeah, yeah.
Only if you have the enzyme.
Well, they may have pea dogs on the... Anyway,
but you know,
knows?
Spanish love rules. I told you I changed my bank account in Ibiza, and it was, you must sign this, you must sign that, you must sign
this. Anyway, you got halfway through reading that email about a cab company.
It took me off the track because...
I know.
£260.
She's easily moved.
So it's Arrows Taxis. They're based at Cobswood in Ashford, and they've been picking up customers in their Mercedes-Benz fleet since 1981. Over the past few years, staff say they've been struggling to hire new staff, and now the cost of fuel has become unsustainable, in their words, leading to the devastating decision to park up the cars for good. In a statement, owners Jenny Lucking and Karen Boyce said that after 41 years and much soul searching, Arrow Taxis has regrettably made the decision to close its business on Sunday, July the 10th. And we wish you all the luck, Jenny Lucking and Karen Boyce, in your next venture. 41 years.
It's really sad, and unfortunately, we're losing so many businesses now. The government have lost the plot completely. They have completely lost the plot on what's going on here. You know, the cost of living crisis is out of control. Fuel prices are out of control.
There's a train strike, so you need your car.
All we've done is we've just bought the 1970s back. And it's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Our first charity event of the year is Marsh Network Charity Golf and Family Day on the 17th of July. Oh, that's my youngest's birthday, the 17th of July. At Lig Golf Court Club. For golfers, we will have 18 holes followed by a barbecue, and for family and supporters, a barbecue only ticket is available. We will also have a short quiz before prize giving for golf achievements. Tickets for golf and barbecue are available to book at marshnetwork.co.uk. If you scroll down to the homepage to Lid Golf Club, click on select and choose which ticket you want and take it from there. So that's Charity Golf Day and Barbecue on the 17th of July at Lid Golf Club.
I love a barbecue. My my son, Shay, did for Father's Day. He did a, from the Good Shed, of course, on the Big Green Egg, a lovely sea bass and a John Dory. And it actually stopped raining on Sunday and we could all sit outside and have it.
That's cool.
I've got the wheel of my chair on my dress.
It's all happening in here, I'll tell you.
A ripping sound.
It's all happening here. She's got her chair stuck.
The next meeting of Marsh Network, East Sussex and Kent, is at Pet Village Hall, which will be at 10:30 a.m. on Tuesday the 5th of July, and is available to book now at www.marshnetwork.co.uk. And it's all about networking with plenty of time for face-to-face networking to build relationships. Come along, they say, and grow your contacts and your business over a little coffee. And you can contact Terry Botfield. He's the mentor and the runner of the Marsh Network. And he's also an FSB volunteer champion. You can call him on 07749 159 263, or you can email him terry@botfield.net. And as I said, it's 10:30 a.m. on Tuesday 5th of July.
Fantastic. Maidstone Borough Council has just completed the purchase of the former Springfield Library site on Sandling Road. Councillor David Burton, leader of Maidstone Borough Council, has set out the ambition to initially acquire 1,000 houses under MBC ownership and control, which will be reserved for Maidstone people at affordable rents. The policy move has cross-party support. We're determined to provide a high-quality solution for this brownfield site, which has been vacant for many years, and we hope this new development will make a massive difference to the lives of those in the local community, as well as those who live in these new homes. So that's a good idea. Some council housing at last.
Yeah, much needed. And Maidstone Borough Council is urgently calling on landlords, talking of housing, to come forward and take part in its Home Finder scheme to help provide housing to residents in the most need, people facing homelessness and those on the housing register in the borough. Incentive for landlords to work with the council include a one-off generous lump sum payment for all types of properties and free extensive comprehensive landlord insurance. A dedicated team work closely with all landlords and residents to match the most suitable prospective tenant to the property and support them through the length of the tenancy. And there's loads of other incentives, so you can go to the email, which is homefinders@maidstone.gov.uk.
Fantastic. We had a tweet from Chips and Dinks. Business Bunker, bringing a bit of sunshine, banter and continuous ongoing support for businesses, live on air right now. But you can always catch up later if you can't listen live. So thank you. That's Bev at the Chips and Dinks. Bev and Tony.
Yeah. I still need to get them round about my alloys. Keep forgetting.
Yeah, you've been curbing them again.
I do need their alloy thing.
Martin Reeves has been on Twitter as well.
What's he saying?
He said, "Hi, Paul and Jules. I'd love a shout-out, please. We'll be listening in the car today for a bit. Not because of the train strike, but because I've been caring for my elderly mum."
Wow, what a lovely... we all need our mums, don't we?
Absolutely. Interesting lineup on the show today as well. Thank you. Thank you, Martin. That's Collector's Buddy. Do give Martin a follow on the Twitter.
Yeah, and DG East, a big hello to you. They say, "Hi, Vanilla Webb and Jules Sirkin. How about a shout-out for a business still being challenged by a very greedy regulator?" So DG's, he is an independent, they are an independent contract hire and leasing provider of cars and commercial vehicles to both private and business customers. New and used vehicles also supplied to order. Find them on dgeast.co.uk.
Fantastic. Kim Stevens, Caring Kent. "I'd love a shout out on the Business Bunker Show. Do you know someone that loves helping others, has a passion for the welfare of others and would make a great carer? Maybe caring is their calling. If you would like to find out more about a career in caring, call Amy today on Ashford 01233 619530. We look forward to hearing from you. That number again is Ashford 01233 619530.
And Terry Thorpe, that's Terry TTG. He's based in Tenterden and an avid listener of the show. He says, hi, Vanilla Webb and Jules Serkin. How about a shout out? Oh, have I done that one? No, Terry Thorpe said something. Then he's gone. Hang on, I'll find him again.
When you're looking for that.
Here he is.
Oh, go on.
How about a shout out for Kent at Tent Social Hub, so that's Tenterden, at Tent Social Hub, nothing to do with camping, who are trying to raise funds via a lottery. He says, I'm putting together a syndicate in support, so if you're interested, get in touch with Terry Thorpe. He is at Terry TTG on the Twitter. So he's trying to get a lottery together.
Okay. We're going to be talking to them in a week or so's time as well, the people from Tenterden.
Will I be here or will I be in Alicante?
I think you'll be in Alicante. Anyway, it's that time when we're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom.
Yeah.
When we come back, we've got another fantastic guest to talk to and loads more to cover. Do keep the tweets coming in. But for the moment, let's join the Channel Radio newsroom.
Let's see what's happening.
The Business Bunker with Paul.